If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
The hope, done sensibly, is that the incentives for investment and economic growth will bring in enough growth and therefore tax revenue.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, 1209 on this getaway Wednesday afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. John Hanson here until 1 o'clock, and got a lot coming up on the show, but I want to roll right in to one of my favorite guests we get to chat with almost every week, Terry Savage. Terry, how you doing here on this getaway Wednesday?
Hey, John, it's getaway Wednesday. It's the fourth day in a row. The market has hit new highs, and what's not to like as we head off for the Thanksgiving holiday?
Boy, we got a lot to thankful for.
Yeah, I said that I sent out a newsletter to all my subscribers, Thanksgiving wishes, and one of the things we have to be thankful for, of course, is a record stock market that shouldn't blind us to risk.
Right. And, you know, there's some good news, obviously. Strong economic news continues, GDP, durable goods. What do you make of kind of a soft market day? Is it just people a little bit sleepy here today, leaving early?
Oh, yeah. What's happening is, don't forget, we now have, we had some good economic news today, not startlingly good, but the third quarter GDP came in a bit higher than expected. Some goods, durable goods orders, also a little stronger than expected. Consumer confidence down for 4 months in a row was reported yesterday, but we're still at very high levels. And here's what's likely to happen. Everybody wants to get off early, especially weather issues. So slow market trading today. Markets close tomorrow, half day on Friday. No big news expected. And so either we just have a really wonderful turkey weekend and a lot of football and a lot of couch time, or I always worry about these long, slow weekends because it could be the time for some kind of strange announcement that could shake things up. But let's be thankful for where we are today and hope that we get that lazy, happy Thanksgiving weekend.
There we go. As we get towards the holidays, of course, and thinking about gift giving, just because your 401k is really big this year, probably doesn't mean you should just go spend it all on gifts for people. Got to still be smart about what to buy for the kids and the grandkids.
You are so right. Yes, the balance in the bottom line in your 401k account has to do with how you're going to live for the rest of your life, not what you get to spend this next few weeks.
Do you have any ideas or anything? I know that in your column you like to sometimes give people some ideas for financial planning issues for parents or adult kids and stuff like that.
No, you're right on. Every year at this time I write my annual column for holiday gift-giving suggestions. Let me give you a few highlights, especially here in Illinois, a perfect time to open a 529 college savings account at brightstartsavings.com. Morningstar recently named it one of the top five 529 plans in the country, gets all the gold stars. If you are an Illinois resident, even if your kids live somewhere else, or your grandchildren, you can deduct up to $10,000 in contributions per person, $20,000 for a generous set of grandparents, from state income taxes, not federal. And, of course, all the money grows tax-free for college. Many people say, so do I put this in the names of my adult children, John and Mary Smith, as custodian for little Billy in the 529, or can it be Grammy Terry, custodian of the 529? And here's an interesting thing. A 529 plan, if they ever apply for financial aid, is counted as a parental asset if the parents are the custodians. Doesn't impact aid too much. If the grandparents own it, it's not counted at all in the aid formula. However, if you take the money out in that year, if you did it in the sophomore year and the kid took $15,000 out, that would be considered a student asset. And the next year, junior year, they'd probably get no financial aid. Mm. So if you put it in the grandparents' name, don't take the money out to the last year or the last 2 years to pay for college. But either way, open a Bright Start Savings 529. Can I give you two more?
We'll do it after the break, actually, Terry, because you're already answering my questions, and I imagine a lot of people out there had questions, too. We're thankful for Terry Savage. So let's get you on the line, 312-981-7200. If you've got questions for Terry Savage, you're open for anything, right, Terry?
Absolutely.
What financial questions do you have? Trust me, there's no dumb question asking Terry Savage. I know that because, Terry, I've asked you so many dumb ones over the years in chatting with you, and you're always so nice.
Well, the thing is, that's what I know. But, you know, I'm not like you. I'm not a Cubs genius or other stuff that you know. So we each have our own area of specialty. I love sharing mine. Let me give you two quick ideas of this. People call in. The other two holiday gifts, people ask me about these all the time. How do I give gifts of stock? You want to get a kid specifically interested in whether it's he's wearing Nike shoes or eating at McDonald's or whatever it might be. The website is stockpile.com, stockpile.com. They have a gift card program. You can buy as little as $5 minimum investment and give a gift card and let the kid pick the stock. Parent has to put in a social security number, but it's very, very easy to do at stockpile.com. And if you do it right now, you can actually get a plastic gift card sent to the child. If not, you can print out a certificate. The other one that I think people wonder, and I've done this every year on TV, I'll do it again when I'm back in town, go to moneysavvy.com, M-O-N-E-Y-S-A-V-V-Y.com. That's that plastic piggy bank, the four-chambered translucent piggy bank that has sections labeled save, spend, donate, and invest. Costs about $20, and you get a coloring book and a workbook to teach your younger children about money. So that's at moneysavvy.com. And by the way, this column is posted at terrysavage.com. It's the newest column, so if you didn't get these websites, just go to terrysavage.com and read the column.
312-981-7200. Get those phone lines lighting up, asking Terry Savage some questions. We'll hopefully get some people on the line here shortly. Got some texts coming in. I think a lot of people are sitting down enjoying the relaxing and just wanted to text a few things on in.
Okay.
But I got one right off the top for you from someone who, you know, they see advertisements pop up in their email or on their phone for getting credit scores, and they always feel like it's a scam. We are entitled once a year to credit scores from the big three, right?
No. Let's sort things out.
Okay.
Your credit report. You get entitled to a full credit report once a year from each of the three major bureaus, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. And the way to get it to make sure you aren't signing up for some protective services or anything else is at annualcreditreport.com. So do one in now in December, one in February, one sometime next summer. The three typically have the same information, although some companies report to only one or two of them. But annualcreditreport.com for your credit report. Now, your credit score, there are actually a number of credit scores. The FICO score is the best known. These are formulas that distill all the information about your longevity of credit history, the amount of your outstanding credit you're using, your repayment history, and so forth. That's your credit score. You can get that free lots of places. I love Credit Karma, CreditKarma.com. Discover Card also offers you a free credit score. Your bank now may offer you a free credit score. But I signed up for Credit Karma. I like it when they send me a thing. Your score went up 4 points, and I think, what did I do differently this month? You know, but so that's how you find your score, and that's the one that impacts a lot of things like consumer loans and so forth.
Yeah, that's important stuff because you never want to click on just a random ad. Do it through the real way. All right, let's go to Edward. Edward, you're on WGN. Where are you calling from, Edward?
Yeah, this is, I'm calling from Midway Airport.
Are you getting away?
No, maybe in December when I have another week off.
All right, yeah. Edward, what's your question for Terry?
I have a 401k, but I asked the screener, is it okay to have a 401k and a Roth IRA, or should I just be adding more money to the 401k?
Ooh. Well, what's it? Does your boss match any of your money contributions to your 401k?
I'm sorry?
Does your boss match any money?
Does the company match?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I work for a well-known company, insurance company.
Okay, so here's the thing. You really, really, really want to get that matching contribution because that's like, if it's 50 cents on the dollar, it's like if I gave you a stock and said it'll go up 50% tomorrow. So if you put $1,000 in your 401k and they're going to match $500, you want to keep contributing to the 401k. The Roth IRA, if you qualify based on income, is a wonderful thing because it's all going to grow tax-free, and down the road when you retire, you won't have to make withdrawals. So it's good to have some after-tax money growing that way. But if you're getting a free match, you want to contribute as much as you can and get that free match. And then decide if you're invested correctly inside your 401k, you need growth, and depending on your age, you have a long-term perspective for that. But try and get the match. That's real free money.
Yeah, and I'm at 10%, and I think the average is 15%. Is that correct?
Well, it'll depend on how much you can contribute. Depends on your salary and your company plan and how much they match. So go into the HR department and find out. You may be able to even add more at your end, even though you're taking whatever it is, $300 a paycheck out. If you want to get that match for this year, you may be able to make a big contribution in December instead of shopping and get 50% or more on your money, depending on what they give you.
Hey,
okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Edward.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah, thank you, Edward. Thank you very much for the phone call. All right, Terry, I got another one here from the text line, the 847. I am looking to refinance. How far down does the percentage point have to be from when I initially bought 2 years ago to make it worth my while?
About the percentage points, because part of it is, if you don't want to, oh, let me think about this. It's what the monthly payment will be, assuming that all costs are wrapped into that payment and you don't have to put any money in. And then the other thing you want to be careful of is you've been paying on your mortgage for 2 years now. So if they give you a new 30-year mortgage, the monthly payment may come down just because you're adding two more years to the term. So you might want to go ahead and take another 30-year mortgage. That's okay. But you want to know that the interest rate is a big differential, not the fact that you're adding on 2 years. So ask them about that. And if you can now, you might want to refinance to a 15-year mortgage if you're planning to stay in the home, hoping to be retired in 15 years. It would be great to have your home paid off free and clear. Maybe one day you'll want a reverse mortgage out of it. So those are all considerations. But if it's a 0.5% or more lower, go ahead and get the deal on refinancing.
312-981-7200. Probably have time for another question or two. Got another one here on the text line from the 815. What's your take on doing a balance transfer? Worth it if the numbers add up?
Balance transfer from one credit card to another. The answer is it all depends. If you can transfer a significant balance, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 or more, to a card that doesn't charge you interest for 6 months, maybe even 12 months, and some I've seen for 18 months, you can find out those cards, by the way, at bankrate.com. If you can do that and then use that 18 months of no interest payment to pay off the card, then, yes, you're way ahead of the game. But at the end of whatever the period is, 12 or 18 months, that interest rate is going to jump stratospherically because they know they've caught you, and it's tough to do another balance transfer after that. So if you're transferring balances, get rid of the old card, unless it's your longest-held card, in which case put it away in the back of a drawer and don't use it so you don't charge it up again. Use that grace period to pay down your balance and know that if you fail to do that or charge more, you're setting yourself up for huge payments down the road.
All right, let's go to Tom. Tom, you just called in. You're on WGN. Got a question about paying for college, yeah?
Hi, Terry. Where's the best way to borrow money for college?
Borrow money for college. Right. You got about 1 minute, Terry.
Okay. The worst thing you can do is take out a Parent PLUS loan. Not only is the rate higher, but there's an upfront fee that adds another full percentage point to the loan if it takes you 30 years to pay it back. So the best thing you can do, even though you can't deduct the interest, would be to refinance your home and take some equity out. The second best thing is to, of course, federal student loans, they won't pay nearly enough, is to be very serious with your school counselor about what you can afford and with your child. And apply to schools, not necessarily because they're less expensive, although you want to have a safe one where maybe your kid could live at home for 2 years and go to community college, but at least talk with the school counselors. They know what schools are giving out money to attract students from certain geographic areas, talents, or backgrounds. So this is not a guessing game. It's not just about borrowing money, because you'll wind up in a deep hole if you do that. It's about being smart about where you apply, what kind of financial aid you qualify for beyond federal student loans, and do not take out a PLUS loan. It's a rip.
All right.
Over the long run, it's a rip.
Tom, thanks so much for the phone call. Terry Savage, really quickly, what's your favorite food on Thanksgiving?
Oh, well, I make my mother's turkey gravy recipe.
All right.
So I got news for you right from scratch from the pan dropping. So if you're coming to my house, you better love my gravy.
720 WGN, John Hanson here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, 1236 on this Getaway Wednesday. If you're listening while driving, please make sure you keep both hands firmly on the wheel as you drive about the area here today with these gusty winds. Okay, so the Cook County Land Bank Authority certainly doesn't have a very exciting name, but for a lot of homeowners or rehabbers, flippers, whatever you want to call them, it is a really great program. And joining us now is Darcel Rocket, the senior journalist of Life and Culture at the Chicago Tribune. Darcel, thanks for joining us here today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
All right, so let's chat through this. You kind of focused, or you started your story on DeJuan Robinson kind of told his story and how he's going through his second rehab of a home. Tell us first and foremost what exactly the Cook County Land Bank Authority is.
It's an agency that is kind of correlated to the Cook County. And basically the whole premise is to get these vacant homes that, you know, you see in neighborhoods, a lot of, unfortunately, disinvested neighborhoods that have been sitting up there for a while, and they just want to get them reactivated and, you know, somebody living in there, a family, you know, and they're just basically trying to make memories. So just bringing these, you know, existing homes back to life.
Yeah, so they buy the property for a pretty low price, and then they're able to sell it to someone who's looking to, you know, kind of flip it around. There's other programs like this around the country, but this one at least obviously keeps track of what's going on with the renovations. They can't take forever, right? They got to be within a year.
Yes, the goal is, at least from what Rob Rose, executive director at the Land Bank, told me, there's a kind of finite situation where they want to get it, you know, up as soon as possible. So there's parameters, and you have to, you know, get it pretty much within a year to revamp it and get it out there. And there's a whole process that they've been doing this for the past 4 years. So obviously something's working.
Yeah, and is it? I imagine they probably want to avoid just big developers coming in. That's the whole point. They kind of pick and choose who they want to be able to flip these homes, people that are in the community and have a community-based mindset.
Absolutely. So DeJuan and Bridget and Trinette, there are some flippers that I talked to for the story. And basically that's exactly what they're doing. They were interested in rehabbing, and obviously the world of real estate, maybe the big city developers or people who are just looking for investment might come in and swoop in and get some of those properties that maybe an individual smaller developer won't be able to. And the land bank kind of makes that easier and kind of equalizes the playing field in that regard. And so then they can kind of get in the game of rehabbing, because, you know, we all love our HGTV. We're familiar with that world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it really kind of opens that window for them.
So they're celebrating their 500th property rehab, which is a big number. That seems like a lot to me. But in the grand scheme of things, of course, there's a lot more vacant homes across Chicago. But they're really kind of taking the approach of, hey, one house at a time, and they mean it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can tell, you know, just speaking to DeJuan, he's, you know, really enthusiastic. He's passionate about what he does. You know, this is a long time, you know, a person who's been in the field working for other, you know, companies and learning his skill through the years. And, you know, for him to do his own thing and really kind of do it in his neighborhood, you know, that he's born and raised in, it means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, this is a completely separate debate, but the discussion around legalized marijuana and who's going to run those businesses, there's been a lot of hay about who should run those businesses and the fact that there's a complete lack of minority business owners in the pot world. That's separate from what we're talking about, but it is encouraging, I imagine, for a lot of people in the community to see that, look, there's a lot of small developers, and the majority of the folks that are getting these projects are Black and Latino.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's something that has nothing to do with it, but I can imagine, you know, the more people who are in the mix for any field or a company or endeavor, the better, right?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. The more diverse things are, the better they are, especially for business, mm-hmm. and especially when you're rebuilding communities, or at least, you know, helping to revitalize certain parts of communities and blocks that are vacant. You don't have projects like this without hiccups or, I don't want to say controversy, scandal, but there has been one case that has raised some eyebrows, right?
The one concern is the section I wrote about in the article that looks at the audit the audit process that's going on, mm-hmm. with the land bank. I don't really know that much about it, but the statement that Rob Rose gave me, that obviously with more homes coming onto the rolls, that they will be, you know, taking in.
Mm-hmm.
they welcome an audit of this, you know, to make sure everything's above board and everybody the process is, you know, going accordingly. And so that's pretty much it.
How do people get involved in this? Like if someone's a flipper or they're interested in that line of work, or, you know, that's a pet project of theirs, how do they get in touch with the board to try and find if there's properties that they might be able to help out with?
Just go onto the website, you know, the Cook County Land Bank website. They have it really all laid out for you. Whether you're a rehabber who's interested in buying a home, even people who are possibly looking to buy one. I mean, it's all there on the website, and it's really accessible. And Rob Rose and the team are fairly accessible as well. So reach out. I feel like, you know, and not only that, but obviously all the rehabbers who are part of this, you know, Cook County Land Bank family, they're willing to talk and share their experiences. So.
And I imagine one of those experiences is kind of, I don't know about bypassing, but at least navigating through the very difficult process of acquiring properties. I imagine people doing this on their own, solo, dealing with the city is not easy, and there's a lot of red tape to go through, and I imagine this organization kind of helps at least navigate through that.
Oh, yeah. They are savvy at what they do. They have been doing this for some years now, and they have a whole process and system in order to make these homes available, you know, and really kind of, you know, give them some new life. So it's you know, Chicago is Chicago.
Yeah.
So nothing is as, you know, easy peasy as one would hope. But honestly, the land bank is there to make it easier for people to get in.
Darcelle, thank you so much for joining us and sharing the story with us.
Thank you for having me. And happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too. And you can find out more at ChicagoTribune.com. Darcelle, the senior journalist of life and culture at the Chicago Tribune. Hey, coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk to Frank Sennett, of course, over at Crane Chicago Business. We're talking about a new way to skip security lines. This one has a few people a little riled up. And also drama inside of Allstate, their own agents upset with what is happening at the company. So we're going to break down that drama and plenty more coming up. But first, the Wintrust Business Minute here on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. The food delivery space is a difficult space to be in because the margins are so small. Grubhub is under fire from New York because they're charging relatively so much from restaurants. Typically, restaurants make maybe 10%. That's their margin. And Grubhub is charging nearly 33% in order out there, sucking down that restaurant profit. It's a tricky situation, though, because people are demanding that restaurants provide a delivery option, which is too expensive for them to do on their own, but the third-party companies, like Grubhub, still need to make money off their service. There will most definitely be some changes in the industry in the near future. And the future of Chicago, for now, is set, as Mayor Lori Lightfoot passed her budget with the approval of City Council by a vote of 39-11. The budget broke down $11.6 billion worth of distribution. All the aldermen and women had their different perspectives about what needed more or less emphasis, but what matters most is that we're moving forward and trying to fix the struggling parts of our city. That's good. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
720 WGN, John Hansen here on the Wintrust Business Lunch for the next 10 minutes or so. Let's check in with Frank Sennett, the Director of Digital Strategy at Crane Chicago Business. Happy almost turkey getaway day, Mr. Sennett.
Scott is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly.
Very appropriate here on the radio waves. Okay, Frank, this story interests me. I still haven't even done the TSA pre-check. I'm still on the fence about it, even though everyone raves about how effective it is. But now we have a new way to maybe even skip the line. And is it even faster than the pre-check?
It is. And, you know, it's funny. You read books like 1984 and you thought Big Brother was going to be imposed in an authoritarian way. But it turns out, it's in exchange for convenience, people will give up, you know, all their information and, you know, free stuff online. So this company Clear allows you to give your biometric data. So iris scans, like scan your eyes, fingerprint check. Then you don't have to show your ID anymore when you go to the line. And then you get escorted to the front of the line once they scan your eyeball. And, you know, it's about $120 a month. And now you're in the database. So good on you.
Did you say per month or is it per year?
Or I'm sorry, per year. Okay. It's per year.
Okay,
yeah.
Just making sure, because that actually, you know, $15 a month. Someone that travels, you know, once or twice or three times a month, maybe for business, that seems like a good deal. Is there any concern about what happens to this data once it gets collected by this company?
Yeah, I mean that would be my concern. I mean, I think it's a nice convenience, but again, you know, what are you signing up for? It's kind of like with everybody finding their ancestors on 23andMe and all, and then it's part of a criminal investigation. So as we give up more of this data, personal data, I think it gets into that soup of if it's out there, somebody's going to access it.
I'll scan my eye to get a little quicker through those lines. I don't even care.
Oh, I know, John. I know. You're all about the convenience.
Yeah, you know me. All right, let's talk about Allstate, because this is some internal drama that you guys got your hands on.
Yeah, so there's this survey of the agents, and Crane's got a copy of it. It was distributed to the Allstate agents, and the satisfaction with the company by the agents has plummeted from the high 70s to the low 50s. So they've lopped off around 25% since the last survey was taken. And there's a big move toward a centralized call center that the Allstate agents are not required to use, but they are encouraged to pay up and use that for people to call in for with general questions. They don't need to talk to their agent. And so this change apparently has led to some dissatisfaction. And as Steve Daniels reports in Crane's, the survey was taken even before the September move by Allstate to cut agent commissions on existing business renewals by 10%. So they say they're sweetening the deal on new customers. They're trying to incentivize Allstate agents landing new customers. But, you know, the thought is, we may not have seen the bottom of this satisfaction survey.
When you look at the language used in this survey and how it's presented, I don't know if you guys got a lot more of that sort of feel from managers or what it is. Was there any interpretation of what these results mean in terms of what managers think about how to do better with? I guess what I'm saying is there any corrective language issued in this? Like, well, we're going to try and make this better? Or is it just, hey, this is the way it is. What do we do next? I don't know.
Yeah, and in fact, my understanding is that they're not even promising they're not going to require this call center, down the road. So right now it's optional. So they're saying the thing you don't really like, we may require. And investors, analysts that Crane talked to said, you know, agents have one job. They sell Allstate insurance. As long as they remain agents, they're still going to be incentivized for their business to sell. So their satisfaction level may not matter as much to the bottom line. Allstate has very high profit margins in the industry, and there's a lot of price competition in auto, and insurance overall right now. So, there is an incentive to cut costs on Allstate's part. Not a happy moment for the agents, but apparently the company is ready to ride it out.
Yeah, when we're able to find rates so quickly, you mentioned auto especially, getting emails about it, you're always pushed, you're always told to keep on looking for new ones. As those prices go down, that revenue goes down, obviously those cut corners are going to have to come from somewhere.
That's right.
All right, where can people find out more about all these stories and all the things that you're doing?
Well, John, go get your eyeball scanned at chicagobusiness.com.
All right. That's how you read the special articles that Frank writes. No, it's a great website, of course. And before I let you go, Frank, besides turkey, the main meal, what's your favorite Thanksgiving side that you're looking forward to?
I really like the sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top.
Oh, now you're talking my language.
How about you?
Oh, I'm a mac and cheese guy. Some people don't even have mac and cheese at their Thanksgiving tables. I don't understand how that's possible. It has to be there, baked and really nice with some breadcrumbs on top. Hey, Frank said, now I'm extremely hungry here at the business lunch. Thanks so much for joining us and have a great holiday, okay?
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.